I made it.
You did. That's an understatement. And you nurtured so many students along the way.
Yeah, I should point out that I also had some friends I should mention.
Yeah, you know, that would be good.
I don't want to forget friends, and I have here a little book. I don't think I've mentioned this one before.
No, you have not.
When I graduated from junior high school, I had a dear friend. Ronald Eden was his name. He died recently. And he and I spent a lot of time talking about cultural issues. He eventually went to New York and became a very talented actor. But we were sports fans. We did a lot of basketball and a lot of chatting, and we had a lot of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We used to listen to the New York Yankees play in Armed Forces Radio at noon every day. And well, make a long story short, I used to send Ron mail art that I made based on my life and my work. This is my first wife, Marion, and we're in Italy at a castle there.
Oh, great.
I put together this collage. And I would send these back to Ron, and I didn't realize he was saving all of this. And ultimately, here is a mailgram that turned into a poem I sent to him. I would try to send him things that he might be interested in my life in California. Well, we had a 50th anniversary meeting of all of these former students of mine in that class, and I went back to Baton Rouge. The class of 1948, this is in 1998 in November, and to my astoundment, each member of that class got this book in my honor. Now, believe me, there were a lot of honorable people in that class, and I was very embarrassed about this. But one couldn't ask for a more devoted friend than Ronald Eden.
That's
I'm very lucky.
That's marvelous. And you mentioned that there are other friends you want to talk
about. Oh, yes.
About as well.
There are. There was one very talented student I had. The very first day I taught at LSU, I was brought in mid-semester. The professor had a heart attack. And the most brilliant student of the class was the first person they brought me to meet. John Messina is his name. John is an architect practicing in Tucson today. He has taught at Arizona University, University of Arizona there in the architectural school. He's taught in the, and he received a master's degree, I think at Boston University. A brilliant architect in organic architecture. He's a specialist in adobe structures. He's remodeled a building in the French Quarter of New Orleans. He's devoted to historical structures. And he has been the greatest friend for me. He was in New Orleans the 2 years I was working on my master's degree, and we would see each other, he and his wife, Tanya, who is from Yugoslavia, and so they have a very kind of organic view of life. They did a beautiful job in turning a little bungalow in Tucson into their home, very close with plants, cooking, all of that kind of thing.
I love that.
Yeah, you would, living where you do in Arizona. So John was more than just a friend. He was really a kind of empathetic colleague and a great photographer. He photographed, I did three color projects. I got into color, light, and energy at Tulane. I developed this concept of radiant architecture there when I was doing my graduate work. And John was very sympathetic with what I was doing, empathetic. He photographed a jazz workshop that I did. No, excuse me, I got that wrong. Someone else photographed the jazz workshop, but that was part of the three projects. He photographed an apartment I built in the French Quarter of New Orleans for the Trailer Brothers, two very, very visionary and artistically oriented brothers who commissioned me to design two projects for them. One, the Explorer's Gift Shop, and then behind the Explorer's Gift Shop, this apartment. And John Messina had been a photographer for Time Magazine, among other things, and he got American Home Magazine to commission him to photograph my project. And they did a beautiful job. It was published in New York in 1970 in color, the photographs that John took. And they actually got me to draw, make a drawing of the project in perspective. They published in that. But it wasn't just the fact that John was photographing my apartment, but he was an excellent person to talk to about what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a philosophy, color, light, and energy, for several tangents. Living and working in Louisiana, I had a deep sensitivity to the Yucatan, the Maya.
Mm-hmm.
And when I taught him at LSU, I put up on the wall a huge drawing of the governor's palace at Uxmal. And I would share with these students my love for Mayan architecture. Later, when I came to California, I took a whole busload of San Diego State students down to the Yucatan.
Mm-hmm.
We rented a bus in Tijuana with two drivers and camped out en route.
Oh, how terrific.
So back in New Orleans, I grew to love the Yucatan. I could sense the tie between the culture in the Yucatan, the artistic history there, and Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
in which color played such a big role. I have since found out something that I had conjectured, and that this has been proven, is that the Maya had huge canoes. They transnavigated the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm.
And just now, and I brought this here, I probably buried it. The archaeological journals are out. It's in this group.
Okay.
American Archaeology and Ancient American are two magazines that publish the Poverty Point city in Louisiana, in northern Louisiana, right near Rayville, the little town my great-grandfather founded, is the oldest community in North America. And it has Olmec ties from the Yucatan. So there is this cultural interface.
Interesting.
From the Yucatan into Louisiana. And I sense this way back. And I will tell you that my earliest ancestors in Louisiana built in a jungle area south of New Orleans called the Barataria. And this area is where there were a lot of Indian mounds with fiber buildings, but rather like the stone buildings in the Yucatan.
Mm.
So anyway, John Messina, my student, a really fine scholar, was a person that I could talk to about this that had total empathy with what I was talking about and actually reacted in his own life in Arizona, where he has interfaced with the Indian culture there, American culture,
yes.
And his buildings respond to that. So I'm those are two friends of mine who I feel very, very close to, and are very lucky that I had friends like that.
And I'm sure it's reciprocal. Heritage. Let's reconsider heritage.
Okay.
Let's reconsider your heritage now.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Susan, because I consider the African influence in Louisiana to be as strong as anything. For my artistic orientation, I have the fondest memory of designing the workshop, the jazz workshop in the French Quarter of New Orleans for two young black jazz musicians. I have the greatest memory of the cultural impact on me of their art, their music, their food. And I have the greatest honor to tell you that my great-grandfather, John Ray, was one of seven state legislators who voted to free the slaves. I have very sad thoughts about my degree family owning slaves. It's nothing that I can control. It's part of their history. But I will say that all of the people that I've known in my family had the highest regard for African Americans. I remember my grandmother, Ray, had Irma, who was like part of the family, who worked for my family for many, many years. My mother adored the African culture. I remember we had a yard man who could tell you the time by looking at the sun, and that was very impressive to me as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spent a great deal of time in Louisiana researching African influence in architecture. One of my greatest memories is going out to Melrose Plantation around 1960 and meeting Francois Mignon, who came, he was the man that came to dinner and stayed forever. He was an artist, landscape designer. He turned Melrose Plantation into a huge work of art. Well, Clementine Hunter, who's probably the most famous African-American artist to come out of Louisiana, was the cook there.
Oh, my.
And he taught her to paint, and to she wove beautiful tapestries, fabrics. He turned that place into a magnificent creation devoted to African-American culture and French Creole tradition on the Cane River in North Louisiana. Not a lot of people realize that on the grounds of Melrose Plantation is a building called the African House, which architectural historians have certified as being the only major influenced African structure in the United States. It's a beautiful structure, one of my favorite Louisiana buildings. And I'm so grateful that I had the ability to discover that milieu of people, part French white people, part African American people. They have their own cultural history and family structure there on the Cane River.
Mm.
A lot of people don't realize that, and that's not too far from Rayville and Poverty Point that I have recently visited again. I love to go up to the Cane River. I think too many people come to Louisiana, go to New Orleans, go to Bourbon Street, and that's about it. They miss the great cultural heritage that the African Americans are part of out in the countryside of Louisiana. And that meant a lot to my life down there.
That's really fascinating. Okay.
So tangent of life.
Okay. Tell me more about your blog.
Yeah, well, I'm so grateful that you give me that opportunity because, you know, I guess a lot of people look at my blog in a way as old stuff. You know, so much of what I show now in my blog, my work, goes back to 1960 and earlier. And that's kind of old hat for young people. But on the other hand, I love the discovery I made once not too long ago, and that is, if you go back far enough in history, you're going to find the future. This is architecturally, and it may be in many other fields as well. So I'm delighted that here now I have a new art form I'm working with, a sound text and visuals And it synergizes everything into this wonderful opportunity to reflect on who are we, where are we from, where are we going, what did we do, what did we learn. I'm sure a lot of people have never thought too much about it, but once they do, it opens up so much. You know, well, what is this all about anyway? This living condition on Earth. What are we doing here? Where are we from and where are we going? Now, a lot of people have ideas about it, and you hear the tunnel of light, the near-death experience. There's great hope we're going to go on to another life and so on. But the internet, the blog that I have at night, has given me a chance to pursue that in a number of ways, based on my own experience and what I learn on Coast to Coast Radio at night, on Ancient Aliens, at UFO conferences, and at other places in university venues where people research these questions, mm-hmm. and have various answers. I think we're still learning. I love the idea of the holographic universe, of wormholes, of synchronicity. I do believe that there will be space travel in the future based on wormholes. There's every sign that we're going to expand in the universe. And it's very obvious that we're part of a reality that is far larger than we've thought of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone had pointed out that if you look at the night sky and you see the stars and you realize that around each one of those there is a tremendous a group of planets that have ability to support life like ours, you realize that we're just a small cog in this huge wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very encouraged that at my point in life that I can be part of these questions. Not that I have all the answers, but at least I can discuss it.
Well, it's really an honor to be sharing the production of your oral history with you, and it will be exciting to produce something on the internet that will also incorporate the visual material that you want to share, as well as what we have discussed. So I thank you so much.
Well, believe me, I'm so grateful, Susan, for the effort that you brought to this discussion. You've made it possible for me to talk about things I'd never think about talking about. And more than that, it's very exciting to think of the future of our existence, reality, and our existence on this great planet. I have every belief that in the few years left that I may have, there's going to be some more exciting discoveries that will open up even greater opportunities than we're aware of today.
Thank you again.
You're welcome.